ministry here at the Church of Ventura, and he's a great friend of mine. My only regret is that my crazy life is so busy that we don't get to hang out as much and study the Word together, but he has a lot to offer, and I hope that you guys really take to heart what he has to share with you, because he really means it, and he definitely wants you to benefit from what he has to say. So without further ado, Rob Collins.
Hello. All right, good afternoon. First of all, if I could ask you guys to bow with me in a moment of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to gather here and worship your name freely and without persecution. Help us all to glorify you this weekend in everything that we do. Help us to try to take some of the lessons learned here this weekend and apply them to our everyday life. Thank you for Jesus, Father. Thank you for the voice of truth in our lives that guides us down the path that you want us to follow. In your Son, Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, who watched the news last night? Anybody? One person. What was the headline story? OJ. That's what I'm talking about. Okay. 12 counts of kidnapping, armed robbery, things like that, convicted on all 12 counts. Okay, this is a Heisman Trophy winner, NFL football player. Had the world in material terms in the palm of his hand. And he has an opportunity to do life in prison at this point. So tying that into the story that I'm going to tell a little similar story as OJ, but it's not going to be as high profile. It's not going to be as nationally known, but it has a great impact on me, and I hope it has a great impact on you as well. So I like to look at our lives as a book. You can take your birth, for example, as the preface or the opening chapters or something like that, but try to look at your life as a book. Where did you start out as? How did you grow in your life? Where are you at now? What are you doing right now to grow in your walk with God? Are we listening to the voice of truth, or are we listening to ourselves? Okay, so I'm going to share a little bit of the book of my life with you guys today. Since most of you are in high school, I'm going to go ahead and start out with that. High school was really a good time for me. Growing into a man, not necessarily the man that I wanted to be, not necessarily the man that God wanted me to be, but growing into a man. Okay, ladies, growing into women, okay? Hopefully. So, we got that going on. Now, in high school, I had a lot of dedication to grades, sports. My friends were good. I was playing basketball since I was 6 years old. So in high school was my time to hone my skills, put a lot of dedication before school, after school, at practice into becoming the best basketball player that I can be. Okay? Meanwhile, I'm giving all the glory of my successes to God where it's supposed to go. Without him, I wouldn't be blessed with the talent that I had in the first place in order to achieve the goals that I set out for myself. Okay? Along the lines of grades, regardless of what I did after high school, I didn't really ditch class, never missed homework assignments. I had the type of parents that were not going to let me go out of the house, go to sleep for that matter, without getting any type of homework done, and they were going to check it. Okay? Friends that I had at this time. I had like-minded friends that were dedicated to basketball like I was. That afforded me a lot of good things character-building-wise, because I built the, there was a team attitude on a basketball team, and you can transfer that into your life and your church family. I was in the Ventura youth group here. Billy and Donna were our youth ministers, and it was a really great experience. Went to a lot of cool youth forums. I like being around the youth because there's a great positive energy that's going on in here, and it transfers to the people at this church. It transfers when you go back to your home congregation. There's just a really good positive energy that's going on. And I tried to surround myself when I was in high school with friends that had that positive energy. Okay? So they were building me up as opposed to bringing me down. Okay. So, senior year of high school, I moved from Ventura to a place called Victorville. You guys in Lancaster might know where that's at. It's a little bit closer to you guys. So upon arriving, I went the summer before and played a little three-on-three in a summer camp that they had there at the high school. Impressed the coaches, impressed the other players that were there. But when I arrived, I realized there was a little bit of jealousy and ill will towards me for the simple fact that I was, you know, in my senior year of high school trying to come into a program that is already established. You already have your leaders on the team. You already have this sense of team going on, and everybody knows each other. Okay? So as opposed to finding friends in the church or even going to church, I stopped going to church altogether. I started listening to all the people, girls at the school that told me how great I was. You're great at basketball. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. And were interested in what I can accomplish for them as opposed to who I was as a person. Now, what that did for me was it gave me a puffed up sense of myself. I was, you know, thought more of myself than I guess I should have. Put myself on a pedestal. Nobody's a better basketball player than me. Nobody's ever going to come around and be better than me at this, 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 and this. And I stopped attributing my success to God and started attributing my success to myself. Okay. So, I'm going to read a passage from John 15. I'm going to start in verse 1 and read, let's see, we can just go to 17. Starting in chapter 15 of John, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Okay, I'm going to stop right there. Okay, I might have read this before in high school. I might have listened or heard, as Shane said, to the message that was being that was written, but I didn't listen. Apart from God, we are nothing. When we don't listen to the voice of truth, we're destined for ruin. Okay, so about this time, not having a church family to depend on, to build me up, to be truthful with, I fell into a state of lying about nothing. Lying to my parents, lying to my friends, lying to everybody that was around me about the simplest things. Did you go to school today? No, really did go to school. Did you clean your room? Yeah, sure, I cleaned my room. Cleaned it all day. Had 2 hours of cleaning in. Didn't touch anything in my room. Okay, without the voice of God, I was listening to myself. And truthfully, we can justify anything to ourselves. I can justify walking right out of here right now and I'll have a perfectly good reason why I did it. And I'll make you believe there's a perfectly good reason why I did it. And make you even think that, hey, I probably would have done the same thing. Okay, so when we listen to ourselves, or we listen to men, we don't find the truth. We don't listen to the voice of truth. We're not guided by God's purpose for our lives. Okay? So, went to a few parties, got drunk a couple times, smoked a couple of joints, and realized that I can do whatever I want to. I can go wherever I want to. I can hang out with whoever I want to. I can take money from whoever I want to. I started realizing that there wasn't anything stopping me from doing what I wanted to do when I listened to myself. Now, you can have your family around you. You can have the people that care about you the most telling you the right thing to do, praying for you, and you turn right around and do whatever they're telling you not to do because you want to do it. The voice of truth is not prevalent when you are doing that type of thing. Okay, and I learned the hard way, which I'll share with you guys in a minute. And my hope out of this is that you guys can relate to whatever stage of my life that I was in, whether it be successful, destructive, or, graceful, okay? I hope you guys can relate to one part of the story, okay? And I know you can. Whether you're, primed for a basketball scholarship to a college, whether you're primed for that, whether you're just starting out drinking or hanging out with the wrong people, or whether you're deep in it and you don't feel that you could get out of it, we're gonna touch on each one of your subjects, and I hope you guys can relate to everything that I'm going to be saying here. Okay, so it only takes one drink, and the bad thing about doing the wrong thing, it's cool to realize it, but it's bad that, it happens, is that you don't just go from one day reading the Bible and being active in your youth group to totally being out on the streets, addicted to anything, and homeless and no family. It doesn't automatically happen, okay? It's an incremental slide. It goes from that one thing that you do. Now the devil's broken down your barrier. Your level is a little bit lower than it used to be. You used to have a really high standard. Oh, I wouldn't do that. That's gross. That's nasty. But you find yourself doing it, eventually. And then that's going to be okay to you. Okay, so I would encourage you to, reach out to your young adults ministers, your youth ministers, people at your church that you feel that you can trust. And wherever you're at in your life, I would encourage you to be truthful with people. The church is a powerful building tool that will help you in your lives tremendously. Okay, you have a bunch of people that are following God's voice, that are following the voice of truth. Okay, so after high school, I got a scholarship to Azusa Pacific University for basketball. Full scholarship. Didn't have to pay for anything. Okay, I had a dorm, meal card, class schedule. Didn't really have to do anything except show up and play basketball and go to class. But that was too easy. I couldn't just do that. I had to go and do a bunch of other things in order to mess that up. Okay? So before we played any games, I played one inter-squad scrimmage there. Inter-squad just means you play the people that are on your team. Okay, you go with the first string against the second string. You got the assistant coaches that are coaching you, and you play your team. Okay? That was the only action that I saw at the college level after a full ride scholarship. Okay? So, there's a lot of things that took place, a lot of dishonest things that I did. Stole some things from my roommate. Got caught, had to report to the campus police, and tried to lie my way out of it for a solid 2 months. They would show me, this is you, this is what you did. And I would say, no, I didn't. What are you talking about? That wasn't me. Okay? So, long story short, I got kicked out of college. First year, never played a game. 4 years, at least 4 years of high school work, before school, after school, and regular practice, gone. Not to mention, my little brother's looking at me, seeing what I'm doing. My little cousin's seeing me destruct my own life. And, what are they supposed to do about it? Just being a very selfish person, very self-centered, listening to myself. Okay? So I go back home for a little while, can't seem to do the right thing, start smoking weed every single day, drinking almost every day, and trying to work a job and thinking that that's okay, that I have a high tolerance, I can make it to work and still, fulfill my duties as a, waiter or whatever. And me thinking that that was okay. The devil had me to where I didn't have a line to cross anymore. The line was way back there, and I was going fast this way. Okay? Tried at a couple junior colleges. Played 1 year up in San Luis Obispo, Hancock College. Played 1 year there. We were number three in the state that year. We had a really good player that ended up going to trying out for the Bulls, I think 3 or 4 years ago. Really good player from Philadelphia. Turned out to be one of my best friends. And, you know, at first, it was all right. The drinking, the smoking pod, the having parties all at my house was fine because I was still showing up to practice every day. I was still going to class, still doing my homework. But on the inside, I was turning cold. Totally turning cold to any type of joy, any type of peace. Anything that God put in front of my path, I was not trying to see it. Okay, so I was listening to myself regardless if God is standing right in front of me. Said, you need to stop. This is what I laid out for you to do. I put this in your lap. Go get it. I'll go the opposite way. Selfish ambition. Listen to the voice of truth. Follow the voice of truth. It's there. One guy put it to me one time. He said, it's like you laying down in your bed and Jesus is sitting right on the footstool, right on. My grandma has trunks. Say you have a trunk at the end of your bed for a linen trunk or something. God, Jesus is sitting right on that trunk. He's waiting for you to get up and go to him. He's waiting for you. The door is always open. Whatever stage that you're at in your life, if you're struggling, if you're succeeding, if you're failing, God is sitting right there waiting for you. There's always a way back. You got to get up and go to him. You got to let him in. You're not always right. Neither am I. God is right. Okay? So, after a couple more junior colleges, the guy from Philadelphia that was on my team, we actually had it out with the coach. The coach was quitting. He was getting investigated for paying the players. I mean, when we were there, we didn't pay rent. We didn't pay for food. We didn't pay for gas. We didn't pay any bills. That's illegal. So, he's getting investigated, decides he wants to quit. So, I take about two or three guys up to Barstow College, where my dad was coaching at. So we go up there, more of the same thing happens. It just starts getting like a snowball, just keeps going and going and going. And finally, I'm in a house where I'm sitting there all day selling drugs out of the front door. And that was okay with me. That was totally fine with me. I was making money and I was doing my homework. Everything that was important to me was shut out of my life. Didn't have any relationship with my grandparents, didn't have any relationship with my cousins. Didn't have any relationship with my family at all. I was desensitized to any type of feeling whatsoever. Any type of joy. Didn't want to talk to them because I knew that they were telling me that what I was doing was wrong. Okay, so this guy from Philadelphia. Him and I got a scholarship to North Dakota to play basketball there. Dickinson State, North Dakota. 22 hours away. Totally cold. Never want to go back there. You have to plug your car into an outlet at your apartment in order for the gas not to freeze. That's how cold it is. Ridiculous. Okay, so anyways. So him and I are getting... him and I were living together when I was selling drugs out of his apartment. Okay? So we decided it'll be a good idea to bring stuff from California to North Dakota. We think we could rent cars once a month with hatches on them, pack the hatch with whatever drugs that we want to take up there, in the dash, all that, and make once a month. Back and forth. Just drive. Can you imagine what type of people that I ran into? Can you imagine what situations I put myself in? I mean, I'm big now, but I used to be skinny. People used to look at me like, what is this goofy white guy doing here? They're expecting some, you know, big thug or something. But that was half of the reason why I was doing it is because it was easy. Nobody looked at me like that. Nobody expected that from me. Okay? So, this is all just proof of how much easier, how much you let in, how much you let your guard down, of your godly purposes in your life when you start listening to yourself. You start listening to the friends around you. You start seeing things that you like and going after them. You start seeing nice watches. You start seeing nice cars. You start seeing these guys not go to work one day in their whole life, but they always have a new clothes on. They always have a new jacket, fresh boots, everything. And you see this, and these guys seemingly don't work for it. Who wouldn't want a piece of that, right? But nothing comes without a price. Okay? Nothing comes without a price. So at this point, I am bringing, after I left North Dakota, moved back home again, started bringing these people to my parents' house. Started waiting for them to leave, bring the rental car, and park it in their garage. And it's not like I'm going along with it. I don't have, you know, all this peer pressure and all this. It was my idea. I got a good place we could go right here. Nobody's going to suspect us right there. Started bringing those type of people, those type of things around my brothers, around my mom. And these people are so kind-hearted that they still accepted these people. They still fixed them dinner. You guys want something to eat? You guys hungry? You guys thirsty? And my dad is not stupid whatsoever. He knows what's going on. But he is so prideful, he's not going to put me, you know, out there like that in front of all these people. So he's welcoming to these people. He's welcoming them into our house, into our world. You know, one of the biggest things with Jesus is when you eat with somebody, it shows communion. It shows that you are connected with that person. When you have a meal with somebody. And I'm asking my parents to have meals with drug dealers, with thugs, with people that if you don't pay them, they're coming to your house. And I'm bringing these people in my parents' house, eating meals with these people. Because I listen to myself and not the voice of truth. Okay, so started doing a little bit more harder drugs, a little more addictive drugs. Like I said, it doesn't happen all at once. This is a 3 or 4 year period that I'm telling you about where I started up here with college and an education in the future handed to me. And now I'm slowly sliding down here, maybe in the middle, still going. And once you hit that bottom, the only person there for you is your family. And God, only two people that are going to be there for you. You won't hear from anybody else when you're at that bottom point. And they see when you change. They see the instant that you change. And they'll be there, especially the ladies. Gotta love moms and grandmas, right? Gotta love moms and grandmas. They will jump in the fire for you to throw you out. Okay, so moved into an area of the town that was, they called it Felony Flats. Okay, so I'm living right in the middle of Felony Flats. Got kicked out of my parents' house. Couldn't stop stealing. Nobody else in my family would take me into the house. I couldn't even go over for dinner because of the trust that I broke down with every member of our family. They didn't want to have anything to do with me. Okay, so I start doing harder drugs, start doing, you know, a little bit more addictive drugs and start thinking that it's a good idea to rob stores when they unload their load. Okay, so long story short, I got arrested for commercial burglary, maximum of 18 months. That's prison time when it's over a year. So I did a plea bargain, pled guilty, and got sentenced to 6 months to serve 4. This was 2 years ago next month, November 11th, 2006. I'm in orange jumpsuit with flip-flops on. With all these guys that I don't even know. Imagine that. Imagine where you end up listening to yourself and not listening to the voice of truth. So, I'd like to read James right now. I was going to read it a little bit later, but I think it's appropriate. So we're going to go with James 1, chapter 1, 2 through 8. And this was one of the first times, when I read this verse, it just hit you. It gave me a reason why I was where I was at. I hadn't started thinking that I was the problem yet. Okay? I still thought it was somebody else's fault that I was in there. Okay? So when I read this verse, it really hit me that this is all God's purpose. This is all God's plan. I just need to get out of the way and let his plan unfold. Okay? So James 1, 2 through 8 says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded man, unstable in all he does." Okay? I was double-minded. I was very, very, very unstable. I had every intention of doing the same thing when I got out that got me in there in the first place. Why not? I'm going to be going out, hanging out with the same people, living in the same place, doing the same thing. So I might try to resist it for, you know, a couple weeks or so. But the thing that we need to understand as teenagers especially is our surroundings, our friends, our atmosphere that we hang out with is very important on the person that you're shaping up to be. Who you have around you has a lot of influence on you, whether you want to believe it or not. I used to think I could do everything myself. I don't need anybody's help. But when those people are around you, you do that. I don't care what anybody says. You do what you're around, period. So keep that in mind when you're thinking about where you're at in your life as far as your walk with Christ and listening to the voice of truth. Where are you at with that? Everybody stumbles. Okay? Okay, so when I'm in jail... the only person that came to visit me was my mom. Good old mom, right? Only person that would come visit me. Now, mind you, 3 or 4 months before this, I haven't talked to her since 3 or 4 months before this event happened. So I don't have a relationship with my mom at this point. I don't have a relationship with my family other than them praying for me to either get killed, go to jail, or, you know, go to rehab or something. That's the only relationship I had with my family. So that was really, really inspirational to see the unconditional love that a mother has for her son. I mean, I'm their firstborn son, and I'm sitting there on the other side of a plate glass talking to her on the phone. Imagine what she's going through, standing there, trying not to cry so I won't be weakened at all. Even in the face of my son sitting in jail with a full-on beard, shaved head and all that, and I'm more concerned about hurting him than I am about showing my emotions, letting my emotions out. Thank God for moms. Okay, so that was a lot of inspiration. I got pictures from my family that my mom sent me. I hadn't talked to my cousins in a long time, and they sent me pictures. I asked my cousin Lindsay, is she here? Okay, good. I asked her to write me, and she wrote me a letter, and she goes, "Well, I don't know what to write. Just pray. Love, Lindsay." That's it. And sent me a picture. So all these events are leading me back to God. Everything that I'm thinking, everything that I'm reading, every person that I'm talking to is leading me back to that selfless place where I started out from when I was doing really good in life. When I was listening to the voice of truth, it's still hitting me when I'm sitting there around a bunch of criminals. And I'm in there reserved, guarded. You know, I'm ready for whatever at any time. And these people are showing me God. Weird, huh? It was awesome, though. Okay, so I met this guy named Chad. He was in the army, and he was in there for apparently shooting at his neighbor. They got in some type of an argument. From what he says, he went out back and shot some shots at the ground, you know. But I know police have this little thing called ballistics, I think it's called, and they can match the bullet up. So if it wasn't in the ground, why are you in jail? Okay, so, yeah. So from his perspective, he shot at the ground, okay? But he was in there for shooting at his neighbor. Anyway, this turned out to be, besides Big John, this turned out to be one of the biggest turning points of my time spent in jail. This was one of the biggest impacts because out of all that, this guy Chad still had time. Well, we had all the time in the world. He still had the fortitude, the gumption to study with me. I didn't have time to realize, you know, figure out what religion he was, what, you know, what facet of Christianity is he, does he even believe in the Bible? But I found myself with this guy sitting down and studying God's word. And this is when the voice of truth started coming in, and these words right here jumped off the book and got right here, right in my heart. Very emotional time for me. Brought back old feelings that I didn't think that I had anymore. Okay, so they basically you get to go, you stay in a dorm of about 55, 60 guys, and 10 people from your dorm get to go to Sunday services every Sunday. And I got lucky enough to worm my way into the front of the line so I could go. Okay, so the first time I go into here, I mean, we're singing. We're hugging each other. These guys are freaking tatted up all over, just pierced everywhere, just big, burly, not all of them, but, you know, most of them, for the most part, all you do in there is push-ups and exercise. So they're big guys. And they're sitting here with their hands up, praising the Lord. God survived in that atmosphere, and he jumped out at me. I was there to find God again, period. That's the bottom line. All this drug use, all this story, that's just a story. The point of it is finding the voice of truth, not listening to yourself. Okay, so along with the pictures and other things that my family sent me, I got transferred somewhere where there was this old man, and we were doing prayer circles at night before we went to bed. You know, 10, 12 guys in a prayer circle go around, you know, just typical squeeze of the other person's hand, and, you know, everybody gets to pray. If you don't want to pray, skip it. But I was there for 2 days, and this guy was getting transferred out. He was probably 60, no teeth, just skinny, real drug-addicted man that's been struggling with that his whole life. Okay? And he grabbed me by my shirt, looked at me right in my face the first night I was there, and he said, "You need to keep this prayer circle alive when I'm gone." Didn't know this guy's name, didn't know where he came from, didn't know anything about him. But for some reason, he came up to me and asked me to keep the prayer circle going when he left. Okay, so all this is just, you know, in my mind, I'm praying to God to open my mind. Oh, please open my mind to what you're saying and all this stuff. Meanwhile, he's putting stuff right in front of me that, you know, it's taken me a little while to see. And I think he does that in all of our lives. He puts stuff right dead in front of us. And we do our best to go right around it and do our own thing, right? So he's putting stuff in my path to bring me here so I could give this lesson to you guys. But I hope it has an impact on you. I truly do, because, you know, like Shane said, everybody has a story. And, you know, I can sit at my job on the corner and learn 10 different stories, and each one will have a different impact on me. So I hope what I say sinks in. But we got enforcers if you want to get a beat in too. Okay, so I started praying a lot. Asked God to basically, I opened myself up, surrendered. I can't do anything by ourselves, like it said in John. We can't do it alone. He will prune the branches that don't bear fruit. I was pruned. I was ready to go. I was ready to get out. Okay? So my mom and my grandma came and visited me. Now, I'm still at the point where, let me back up 1 second. I got a visit. The first time and only time that my dad came and visited me was on Thanksgiving. Okay? So if you do the math, I was in there November 11th for 4 months. So I missed Thanksgiving. I missed Christmas. I missed my brother's birthday. I missed my grandma's birthday. I missed my mom's birthday. Missed my cousin's birthday. Okay? I talked to my grandma and my aunt and my cousin on the phone Christmas night in jail for listening to myself. Think about that. Think about being away from your family. Now, I don't know about your family or your friends, but my family meets every Thanksgiving, every Christmas, everybody's birthday. Everybody is there. I wasn't there that year. I was not there with my family. Okay? So we're past that. All right. Grandma and mom came and visited me a little bit after that. Still nobody offered me a place to stay. Still had every intention of going, not necessarily doing the same things when I got out, but going to the same spot. And from our little pep talk earlier about our friends, if I go back into the same spot, I'm going to do the same things, whether I want to or not. So there's one bright, shining light that offered me a place to stay, and that's Grandma. Nobody else. She saw my potential before I saw it in myself. Her and my mom knew the instant that I changed and turned around. Knew it. It's special to have a lady that's walked with Christ her whole life, and the most important person to you, your mom, telling you, I see a change in you. You don't have to say anything right now. I see it. Come stay with me. I'll help you. Do we do that for our Christian family? Do we do that for our community? When people need our help, do we listen to the voice of truth and do we help them? Would you have helped me? I wouldn't have. The voice of truth was in those ladies and helped me out. Doesn't have nothing to do with my grandma or my mom or me. It has to do with God rebuilding our relationship. Okay, another bright spot. Somebody wrote me that I didn't even know. I got a letter about a month before I got out from somebody that I had never talked to in my life. Okay? Now, my aunt and my grandma aren't the most shy people, so they like to talk about stuff when they're proud of people. Okay? When they love somebody, it's all over the... It's like, you know, it's like a telethon of, you know, proudness. Okay? So apparently Wynn got around of how good that I was before I started getting off track a little bit, and the young adults minister at this church wrote me a letter. Never met the man before in my life. Is that the voice of truth or what? Is that God telling this guy to write me a letter, bringing me to this church? You know, it might sound a little corny. I sound like a little, you know, what is that, guiding light, a little soap opera or whatever, but, you know, it's true. I wouldn't be here without the Christian family that I have here. So he wrote me, welcoming me before I even got out. Never met him before in my life. Saying how much of a privilege it would be for me to come here. Why? Who wants me around? My grandma. That's one. That's about it. So, you know, think about the impact that had on me. Think about the impact that would have on you. Think about if you're free right now, if you got a letter from somebody that you didn't know saying that they were praying for you. No, what kind of impact would that have on you? What kind of truth would that bring into your life? Okay. Enough of the bad stuff. On with grace. Okay, so God saves us all. There's always an open door. There's always a way back. We need to open up and ask him. If we come from the heart, he will answer us. If we truly mean what we pray, and through Jesus Christ, it's answered. Might not be how we envisioned it, but it will get answered. It will be God's purpose in our life. So I open myself up to God on a nightly basis, telling him that I will do whatever you want. Whatever you want me to do, I will do it. Show me where I need to be, I'll go. If I need to shut up, tell me to shut up. If I need to stop thinking that I'm something, tell me I need to stop thinking I'm something. And God will answer your prayers, I promise you. He will answer your prayers. He will put people in your life that will build you up. He will put good, solid people that you can be honest with and that can be honest with you and that you can truly connect with spiritually. He will put those people around you to succeed. God's grace is awesome. There's nothing that saves you except God's grace. There's nothing else that saves you. No one goes to the Father except through Jesus. So why are we listening to ourselves? Why aren't we listening to God? Why aren't we listening to the words of Jesus? Are we scared? It's pretty easy to get scared, especially when there's people around you that don't necessarily agree with what you believe in. Get you in a little hot water. But with the voice of truth, we can succeed. I'd like to read 1 Peter 1:13-21. And I promise I'll let you guys have fun the rest of the day. So 1 Peter 1:13-21. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, "Be holy, because I am holy." Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here, in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver and gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him, you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply, from the heart, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. Wherever you guys are at in your lives, whether you're doing great in school, on your way to a scholarship, maybe it's an academic scholarship, maybe it's a science scholarship, maybe it's a writing scholarship. I hope you can relate to the story. I hope you can find the voice of truth in your life and do your best to follow it. Whether you're incrementally sliding, whether you're starting to, you know, let things be okay that weren't normally okay the way that you were raised. Okay? I hope this story has impact for you. I hope you can stop it. I hope you can find people that will help you build yourself back up to the good Christian men and women. Got you guys on that one. Men and women, yeah. That God wants you to be. That you can be. I pray that you see the potential and see God in yourselves that other people see in you. It's really hard to see it in ourselves, but when other people see it, it's like, oh, and I see that all the time. Whether you are at a place where you feel there's nothing left, rock bottom, nobody listens to you, you can't feel that you can be truthful with anybody, Your friends around you are doing the things that you don't want to do. If you have nobody else to call, I'll give you my phone number. John will give you his phone number. Doug will give you his phone number. We'll listen to you. We'll help you. We'll give you scriptures for, you know, to calm you down, for direction, for grounding. We'll give you voices of encouragement. We will build you back up to where you would like to be in your life. I hope each one of you gets a really good lesson out of this. It was a little tough, but I think if we follow the voice of truth, we can't go wrong. Find us a church family that's supportive, that worships the way we want to worship, the right way, okay? That prays with each other, that is fellowships with each other, that knows each other. Find that truth. Follow that voice of truth in your life, and you'll be successful. I thank you for your time. I'd like to close with a little prayer. Will you bow with me, please? Dear Heavenly Father, help us to follow the voice of truth. Help us to leave our selfish ambitions at home and throw them away. Help us to follow your word, Father. Help us to be like your son, Jesus. Help us to be compassionate. Help us to be peaceful. Help us to love one another. I pray that everybody here goes home and is a bright, shining light in their community in the face of darkness, Father. And I pray that all these young people look to you for their successes and call to you in their failures. I pray we come to you even when we don't want to, Father. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for always opening the door for us to come back. And thank you for your grace. In your son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.